This is the Beyond Sunday podcast, episode 84. My friends, thanks for tuning in to the Beyond Sunday podcast today. This is your host, David Santisteven. Today's interview is super special. Had a chat with Chris Tomlin. We were able to catch up in the middle of his busy touring schedule on the Love Ran Red tour. And man, what an honor it was to talk to this guy. The man behind so many incredible worship songs that we all use in our local churches all the time. And man, what a real genuine guy who loves Jesus and loves the church. So that interview is coming up here in just a minute. But before we go there, a quick shout out to our sponsors for this episode, multitracks.com. I don't know how many of you listening are into using clicks and loops in your services, but it really was a game changer for us at our church when we started to implement this. Almost immediately, I could sense that our sound tightened up and just really raised the quality of our volunteer musicians in just incredible ways. And but I know that that whole world of loops and clicks can be sort of confusing and daunting. Like, how do you go about doing this? And that's why I love multitracks.com. We honestly use this on a weekly, if not daily, basis. It's really my go-to site for downloading the latest loops. They carry all the newest stuff and a lot of past stuff as well. And what I love most about it is that you can go in and you can create your own custom mixes of songs right from within their website. And it's an incredible, really easy to use interface. So if I have a weekend where maybe the band is a little bit more minimal, I can fill out the sound with some auxiliary instruments and some different sounds. And I can use these custom mixes to even fill out acoustic sets that we do sometimes. And even if you have a full band, just having that click and some additional instrumentation underneath can really fill out the sound. And yeah, it like really can bring your musicians to a whole nother level when they learn to play to a click and they learn how to play with these tracks. And so I really love it. They have an incredible app too called Playback, which makes it super, super easy to play loops live. So right from your iPad, right from your iPhone, you can trigger your loops and clicks. As a matter of fact, like this past weekend, we sang Chris Tomlin's At the Cross, Love Ran Red. And so we purchased that loop on Multitracks and used the Playback app to run the entire service. And so I'd recommend starting out with their Playback Intro app, which is completely free in the App Store. There'll be links in the show notes. And just give it a try. It's really an incredible app with a great interface, super easy to use. Like I said, we ran our whole service right from within that app, and it was super awesome. No glitches at all. And so on multitracks.com, they have a free loop that they offer every single week that shows up right within the app, and you can download that for free. And all kinds of other great resources on there, from keyboard patches from Peter James and Ian McIntosh, and all kinds of really great articles. Just a really great site. So make sure you guys check it out, multitracks.com. And without any further ado, let's get right to the feature segment today, which is my interview with Chris Tomlin. Here we go. Well, Chris Tomlin, it's my honor to have you today, man, on the Beyond Sunday podcast. How you doing today?
Doing very good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so excited, man, to chat with you. And I know now, man, you're out on the Love Ran Red tour with Ren Collective and 10th Avenue North, and sold out events everywhere, man. And that's awesome. And I just love to know, man, like, how are things going? And maybe you could just share with us a little update on the tour and any cool stories from the tour.
Yeah, the tour has been phenomenal. So, I mean, I had a really high expectations, you know, with this, with Just the package of having Wren Collective and 10th Avenue North with me. I mean, both of those bands are, you know, they could do the whole night on themselves, and they both have a lot of, they bring a lot of energy, bring a lot of excitement, bring a lot of, I guess, celebration to the night, and people love their songs. And so what I love about that is that it's not, you know how so many tours you go to, you kind of go to, you go for the artist, and then the opening bands, you're like, hurry up and get off. So, you know, and it's, I don't feel like it's any of that. I feel like I get more people saying, hey, could you give these bands more time? We're really loving this. Could you, I mean, we love their sets. I mean, love their music. And so I feel like from the one thing to the next thing to the next thing, it's a really different, it's musically different at each turn and yet really exciting. And the nights have been incredible. The turnout, the response, like you said, has been just beyond beyond what we would could have hoped for. And just like this weekend, it's just nuts, just the amount of people that are coming out. And I love sharing these songs. I mean, the tour is called Love Ran Red from the new album, which is, we're doing, you know, a few songs from this new record, and obviously a lot of the songs that people have come to love over the years as well.
Now, Chris, we all know you, man, as a worship leader and a songwriter, and just love to know, man, like when you're not writing, when you're not on tour, you're not leading worship, what do you do? What do you enjoy doing? Like, take us maybe behind the scenes a little bit, Chris Tomlin, off the stage.
Well, now my life has changed. I mean, back in the day, I would have tried to find a tennis court or a golf course, which I still do if I can. But I'm married and have two little girls, have two daughters. And so life is pretty full on at the house. And I try to spend every minute that I'm on the road, you know, with my family that I can. And I love that. And it's, yeah, it's just a whole new world for me. I have a 3-year-old daughter named Ashlyn and a 5-month-old daughter named Madison.
Oh, my wife's name is Lauren. Congratulations.
Yeah. And so it's just a good time. It's a good moment in life. You know, it's nothing more hard. There's no harder work than being a parent, but there's nothing more rewarding and more satisfying than being a parent as well. So that's a new deal for me, new world in the last several years. But yeah, that's what I love. And, I love being, as far as just like, you know, if I was on my own or what I love doing, I just have to be outside. I love, you know, taking a run or playing some tennis or playing golf or just hanging with some buds, you know, getting some chips and salsa and an iced tea. That's pretty good for me too.
Oh man, that's life right there.
Yeah.
Chris, when did you get started with music, man? Like, I know, so I remember the first time I heard you was back in the day when Passion, Better Is One Day, that album came out, and you did the song Be Glorified.
Wow.
And man, I just know that album was super like influential for me as a worship leader. You know, that was like right when I was just getting started, and I would play that CD, man, over and over, and was just really influenced by it. And so how did you get started with music and then with worship? Like, how did this all begin for you?
Well, it was all kind of the same, you know. For me, it was as a young kid, I was playing music, and I loved playing in my church. I grew up in a little town in Texas, very small town, very small church. And when I'd play at church, I didn't even know what worship music was. Never heard the term.
Yeah.
Never heard the term worship leader. This, you have to understand, this was before the explosion of just worship music around the world. Like this, like what they say is a genre now, which is weird anyway, but it's like, you know what I'm saying? And so I just love singing songs where people sing with me. That's all I knew how to say when I was a kid. I was like, I would try to write songs that way, write songs that would be like people sing along. That wasn't more, I wasn't really performing them, but more just like helping people sing to God. And that was as pure as it was. But I look back now and realize that God was putting that in me from a young kid. And so my journeys was crazy, man. You know, I got into college and was doing these little Bible studies and playing some weekend things here and there, writing some songs and getting some opportunities to play. I wasn't really trying to do it, but God was just opening the doors like crazy. It wasn't something I was like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. You know, I was going to college to be a physical therapist and sports medicine. That's what I thought. And I was at Texas A&M, and my life intersected with Louis Giglio. And this was before Passion existed, before Passion was a thought. And it was, he was teaching a Bible study there. I was a student. And he was teaching Bible study at Baylor. I was a student at Texas A&M. And, you know, I did some youth camps with him. And he was someone that came along, really believed. And he's like, man, who are you? And where are these songs coming from? And I'm like, man, I'm just a college student and been writing these songs. And he's like, I think the whole world's going to sing these songs. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, and it was a very pure place. I mean, I look back and go, this is a crazy, I mean, this is before YouTube and all that world where you had your own marketing plan. You know, there was no marketing here. There was nothing, but God was just really blowing the wind in the sails. And I was, you know, at a university student, just spending my weekends traveling, doing these little weekend youth retreats. And soon after that, the songs started, like, I always said the songs preceded me. They went ahead of me because these churches started playing some of my songs that I was writing, and different churches, you know, would start passing them around, say, hey, have you, in youth groups and stuff like that. And so soon after that, I was playing all these things, and people were like, oh, we play all these songs at my church. You know, you're stealing all of our church's songs. I'm like, well, actually, I've been writing them. And you know, and so that's where it really started. And then the passion came along, and that was a massive thing for, really, that's been a massive move of God, really, and yeah. Being a part of that. And that's been an incredible platform for these songs. And it's, everything's kind of built up from there, and how it's taken off and gone beyond, I feel like in so many ways, way beyond me, way beyond whatever I could ever dream. And, you know, being out on this tour and still being able to do this it's been incredible. And just answering the question, even right now, you're asking me every time I'm talking about it, I'm still like, yeah, how did this happen?
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, I really believe that there's defining moments in our lives, you know, where certain people really speak into us and believe in us when we don't believe in ourselves, you know? And it's just cool. Like, would you say that Louis Giglio has been that for you? Like in the early days, he saw something in you that you didn't see yourself?
Yeah, I would say there's a testimony in my life is people who've come along. And I mean, the first guy's name was James. There was a couple people even earlier than that, but James was the guy that, he was in Oklahoma, and he was in Texas at the time, and then he moved to Oklahoma, and now he's a senator, the United States Senator of Oklahoma, which is crazy. But like he spoke at a thing, and I was doing, and he was a youth pastor, spoke at these different events. And I remember the very first thing I ever did, like traveled and did anything, was with him. And I remember afterwards he said, two things I want you to know. One is, I've been praying for you this week, and you have no idea what you're doing. And I was like, thank you. And he goes, secondly, you have no idea how God's going to use you in the world. Wow. And he said, I think God, wherever I go and speak, I want you to come with me. And that was, I didn't know anybody, didn't know anything. And here was this guy who was doing some speaking and traveling. And I was just like, oh my goodness, what's happening? And then Louis comes along and was really the catalyst that believed in me, saw something I didn't see in myself, just as you said. And that's, I mean, everybody needs that, and everybody longs for that, whether you know it or not. And I'm just really grateful for guys like this in my life.
Chris, this might be like an impossible question, but of all the songs you've written, is there one that just stands out to you? Like where you say, man, this is just special to me and is still really special to me that you sort of return to as like, I don't know, a really defining song for your life?
When I think of the special songs, it's really, I mean, I always think about We Fall Down. That was the first one.
Yeah.
That was the very first little chorus. That was on the first Passion record. I wasn't even leading it. I mean, I was just led there.
Right.
And I always return to that because it brings me back to that place of real pure place of like, you know, and this never started out to be a big career, you know,
right.
this was sitting in your room writing this song. How great is our God is the same way. Never would have dreamed that little simple song would have done what it's done. Like I would have never thought that, I always come back to songs where I know where hopefully all songs are written from a pure place, but those songs were, there was never a thought of anybody else will sing this, you know? And to see what like how great is our God, which I feel like what I'm probably most proud of is that it's gone past me as a artist or as a, it's not, a, I don't feel like that song is a, really attached to me that much anymore in most people's minds that sing it. They sing it in church and they're just like, that's a song we sing at church. No one's thinking that's a Chris Tomlin song. It's like, this is what we sing. You know, people right. in the, you know, people in the Philippines, when they're singing that song, that they don't know who I am, never, they don't care. They're like, you know, this is a song we sing. And that's what is, that's what I'm probably most thankful for and what I always pray for the most, that God's touch on a song like that, that it goes past you and gets into the kind of fabric of people's lives in that way.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, Chris, you really write some of the most like singable, catchy, memorable worship songs out there, I think. And we have a lot of songwriters that listen to this podcast. And so I don't know, like, how do you make your songs so memorable? Like, do you have some like guiding principles that you apply to your songwriting to make them, you know, sticky so that people can sing them and they can remember them? Like, what are some of those principles for you?
Yeah, there are principles. I don't know how to say them. Really, because it just feels, I feel like it's an instinct. It's an innate thing that I feel like this is singable. I think I come from a simple place of musically. So, you know, I'm not trying to, I think it's keeping my focus on not trying to be, something I'm not, that's for one, and not trying to be, oh, I need to be the most, you know, I need to be the most unbelievably super creative, most interesting chord structures of all time. And to get people's respect, I feel like it's like, I'm not trying for them. I'm trying to write for the common person. I'm trying to think of what is it that is sitting, that causes a person who's sitting in their pew that is not thinking about music all week. You know, maybe the only time they think about music or is when the song's in front of them on a Sunday morning. What is it that causes them to sing or easy to sing or has a melody that wants to sing? And what is it about that people who can't clap on 2 and 4, you know, what is it that keeps that can engage them? And so I try to, there are guiding principles, obviously, of range. You know, some of the songs that are more rangy, I feel like, now some of them break the mold, but those are hard. Those don't seem to catch on as much when you think about how great is our God. As from a songwriter standpoint, the range is not far. It's like it's not very wide, and I think that's keeps a simplicity to it for people. They don't have to be great singers to sing it. You can sing it in any key. You can grab your guitar, and I'm always thinking about what's, you know, like I call it in college, I'm like, what's the dorm room song? You know, what's the song that you just pick your guitar up around with your friends in your dorm room, and you don't need a band, and you don't need a computer, and you don't need anything for it to work, and you just sing it. And so that I kind of write through those lenses.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. For all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in.
How do you know when a song is done? I feel like that's like the hardest part for me, is to say, okay, this song is finally done, you know, because most of the time I would just sit with an idea forever because I'm insecure and don't want people to hate it, or I'll keep working on it. Like, how do you know when it's finished?
I think you can feel that once, if you ever get the opportunity to lead it in front of people, think you can really feel that. I mean, the song example, At the Cross, off my new album, which is one of the more One of the more favorite songs I've been a part of, I feel like, in my life. This song, Where Love Ran Red, came from and everything. That song, I had a completely different bridge than what you hear. When it gets to the bridge, here, my hope is found, here on holy ground, here I bow down. That bridge does not exist, and I would lead it at church, and I would just feel like it fell flat. I feel like, man, we're going somewhere. The people are with me on this chorus. And then I go into a bridge that just completely loses everybody in the room. And, like, I could just feel that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, we're going back to the drawing board. And so sometimes that opportunity happens like that, and you get that opportunity. I don't know if you – and I feel like even when I'm making a record, you know, I don't know if I'm ever finished. Honestly, I just, like, this is as good as I can do at this point. I think there's a – you can always, like, tweak songs and sometimes you just have to say, you know, at this moment, this is my best. I'm putting my best before God here. And but there's definitely those that, you know this. I mean, one of my famous stories of that is the song "Forever." It's perfectly titled because from the moment I started it to the when I finished it was 4 years, and that's not good as a songwriter. But that ought to encourage songwriters thinking, man, you know, if he can do that, I'm way ahead of the game. So
yeah,
there's a, you know, you just sometimes you have to keep coming back to a song and just let it sit for a minute and not just belabor it, but it come back to it at some point and that something fresh will come. I found.
Yeah, that's great. Chris, last question here, man. Thanks again just for being so generous with your time today, man. How do you keep your mind sharp and your spirit fresh with what you're doing? Because I know you carry a lot, man. Like, you know, you're leading worship, but you're also in the public eye. You know, people look up to you all over the world, and you know, you're selling out stadiums. And man, I just love to know, like, how you keep it real, man, to just stay, keep your spirit fresh, you know, because as a worship leader, it's so easy to just go through the motions, to just kind of put it on autopilot and just go for it. You know, like, what do you do just to stay fresh?
Well, I think staying in a place of humility is extremely important. And the best way I can say that is to have your eyes fixed on God. And you're like, well, of course, Chris, that's very cliche. But no, it's really simple when you think about it.
Yeah.
When you start putting your eyes on yourself, when you start thinking, you start believing your own press, you automatically know that by, you know, the humility, the posture changes. That's how you know when your eyes are on yourself. Is like because when you're seeing God, when you're trying to like really focus on God and who He is, His greatness, His grace in your life, and when you're just walking along and in life and going, man, you know, thank you God for even the breath today. Thank you that I get to do this. Thank you that you have me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my health. Thank you for those kind of things. When you're in that place, you can't help but be humble. When you look at people who have seen, like, who have encountered God in the scriptures, they never are, look at me, look how awesome I am. They're like, okay, let me get on my face. Let me get as low as I can because I've encountered something greater than me. And I think that that's where the power comes from, is a posture of humility before God. And then I read a lot. I mean, just practically, I love reading, and I'm always surrounding myself with people who are challenging me.
Yeah.
And this may sound weird too, but giving, you know, and just being a part of like looking for ways to help people who are less fortunate. And I think that keeps you so close with the Lord. I mean, you can't help but like feel connected with God when you're like, you know, obviously you're in the scriptures and praying, but when you're willing to, you want to really face to face with God and feel like connected with God is, you know, digging deep and real and like interacting with people who need a touch from God, or like, you know, who are very disadvantaged, or among the poor, or among the disabled, and that'll keep you connected, and that'll keep your feet firmly where they need to be.
Yeah, man. Just real quick here, you said you read a lot. Are there any kind of recent books or books that you've read that have really, I don't know, impacted you as a worship leader?
I just read this. I've been in the middle of this book, and I can't believe it. I forgot the author, but it's called For the Glory of God, and it's just this whole writing about the kind of from the Old Testament to the New Testament worship and what worship all the different what worship was and what it's about from the Old Testament, New Testament, and a lot of the symbols of the tabernacle and symbols of that. And so as a worship leader, I'm always learning that way. And so that's been a book that's been pretty interesting as of late.
Yeah. Well, Chris, this has been really great, man. Thank you.
Thank
again.
You, bro.
Yeah, thanks for doing this and just for doing what you do, man, for serving the church and just giving us just words to express what's in our hearts, man. And we appreciate you for that. And so you're in PA right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in Hershey tonight.
Okay, I'm in Pittsburgh. Right. So, man, I wish I was a couple hours closer.
I know,
but I don't think there's any seats available tonight anyway. But
so. I think we're coming to Pittsburgh in the fall, so maybe we can connect then.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. Thanks again, Chris.
Okay, see you.
All right, we'll see you. Well, I hope you're able to pull away some nuggets of wisdom there from one of the best, Chris Tomlin. Chris, thanks so much for being on the show. It means a lot to us that you're able to invest in us here in this Beyond Sunday podcast community. Come on over to the show notes for this episode. So everything that was mentioned, all the resources and links will be over on the podcast show notes, davidsanastephen.com/84. Would love to see you over there. And if you'd be so kind, if you get anything out of this show, leaving us a rating and a review on iTunes, just help us raise the visibility of the podcast so more people can discover it. And make sure you support our sponsors who are helping to make this show possible, multitracks.com. Seriously, guys, this is one of the most incredible sites for loops. Like, I use this all the time. And so it was cool that they agreed to be a sponsor for this podcast in so many ways, because I use it anyway and I recommend it anyway. So incredible. Check it out, multitracks.com. Check out their app, Playback, on the App Store. And I think that's it, guys. It's about all we have time for. Hope you're having an incredible day, and I will see you next week on the Beyond Sunday podcast. Take care. To God be the glory.